Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, the Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs Mansfield area, and will provide some insight on UConn's fall and winter athletic teams. Now, we're going to get right into it this morning, and we have a lot of news surrounding the undergraduate student government, and we're going to get right in with one of the longest initiatives that they've had this semester, which is the professional clothing closet. Now, this professional clothing closet pop-up has been active for the past few months here on the Storrs campus, and according to WHUS news writer Ava Jackson, 51 students were recorded at the most recent pop-up event. The closet is located on the second floor of the UConn bookstore, which is a central location on the Storrs campus. The closet has been open and has recently been implemented a credit-based system, which students have found to be very useful, and they've really appreciated the changes because it makes it a bit more accessible and easier when it comes to putting together professional clothing for interviews and job application season. With the end of the semester quickly approaching, the closet coordinators have been reviewing feedback from students who've visited. There's been an appreciation of the newly implemented credit system, and USG plans to incorporate more sizing tags to help increase this, to ease the search of correctly fitting clothing pieces. The survey also showed that students are requesting for there to be reusable bags for students to bring their clothing home with. For more details about the closet or its operating hours for the spring semester, students can go to USG's Instagram at USGUConn or their website usg.ucon.edu for more information. Now I'm going to introduce Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski into the conversation. We have to talk a bit about a new plan that is coming through in collaboration with USG and the UConn Transit Advisory Committee about Uber rideshare. Rhea, take it away.
Like Katie mentioned, this story is from the Daily Campus. The writer is Angel De Jesus, which, like we said, is an exciting story about an Uber rideshare possibility. According to the Associate Director of Logistics at UConn, Andy Kelly, the arrangement would help aid for when UConn's shuttle services hours are unavailable. According to Kelly, the undergraduate student government is setting aside a large sum of money to contribute to the subsidizing of rides. The way that the ride share would work, Kelly says, is that the students would have a reserved almost allowance similar to the WEBA printing bucks that students could utilize when they are in times of need throughout the semester, coming back late from campus and such like that. Kelly also mentioned that it is a possibility for it to open up as soon as next semester. If not, it would open up as soon as possible, meaning whenever they would be able to implement it, they would implement it right away. Katie, what do you have to add to the story?
I will say there was something else that was mentioned. UConn isn't the first university to create a program like this. UChicago was the first to implement this program, and a lot of the work for this program, USG and UConn as a university have been doing with UChicago. They've been reaching out to talk about the program, and currently the UChicago program offers rides 7 days a week from 5 p.m. to 4 a.m., which I believe is what UConn is looking to do here as well. When it comes to the increase, or when it comes to the fees and just funding the program, there's said to be no increase in fees with the program, and it will be funding by the existing budget that we currently have. Now we're going to throw it over to Rhea again to give us all of the info on what's going on in the local area. Rhea, what is going on?
So, thank you, Katie. The next story that I have comes from Waterbury, where UConn Health has just submitted a bid to sustain the Waterbury Hospital. The new partnership, according to UConn Today, will ensure that patients will continue to have affordable and reliable health care. Ned Lamont said that the partnership, quote, Waterbury families deserve reliable, high-quality care close to home, and this partnership helps guarantee that. UConn Health's bid reflects our shared commitment to strengthening care in every corner of our state while preserving access, protecting jobs, and ensuring long-term sustainability for patients, providers, and communities who rely on the hospital every day, end quote. UConn Today says that the partnership will help to reflect UConn's greater mission of expansion, as they have similar partnerships with Bristol Health and Day Kimball Health. That's all that I have for local news. And Katie, back to you.
Thank you so much, Rhea. Now, when it comes to state and global news, I think the biggest piece of information that we have to discuss is the government shutdown. We just ended the longest government shutdown in history on Wednesday after the federal government passed a bill by Congress, which has been officially signed into legislation by President Trump. The federal government shutdown reopened after a 43-day shutdown, and the bill was passed by Congress. And the bill passed by Congress funds most agencies only through January 30th of 2026. So the potential of there being another shutdown is there, but nothing, again, is confirmed as the government has just officially reopened. So there's a lot of work to be done to secure all of the funding for federal workers. About 1.4 million federal employees were affected, which means they were either furloughed or working without pay and are still returning to work, but many are waiting on back pay. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is otherwise known as SNAP, which we've talked a bit about on the show, has been funded through September 2026 in the deal. However, the timing of full benefits being restored varies state by state. Agencies like the Smithsonian Institution, which is the museums and zoos, and air travel services are reopening, but operations will not return to normal immediately. Delays and disruptions are still expected to occur. The shutdown did cause some broader impacts, with the national parks losing their visitor revenue, and the IRS backlog may delay refunds, and air traffic control staffing issues will be slowing flights. So just keep all that in mind as everything is starting to reopen. Now we're going to be handing it off to Vinny Carbone, our sports director here. Vinny, how is your Friday going?
My Friday's going fairly well. Katie, how's your Friday going?
It's going okay. I think I'm hitting that like end of semester just like dread. I'm ready for everything to be over. I'm ready for Thanksgiving. Looking forward to being home, I think. How about you?
Yeah, I have some exams. I got an exam back this morning.
Oh my goodness.
And it wasn't...
Was it a midterm?
It was like some type of midterm, and it was not... Ooh. Not good. Let's not talk about it. Let's move on to the most fun thing at UConn Sports. Welcome back to Carbone's Court. I'm your host, Vinny Carbone, and let's get right into it. Women's soccer ended last week. We talked about that last week. But men's soccer are 2-0 in their last two games. And a thrilling 2-1 come-from-behind victory capped off the UConn men's soccer regular season last Friday. Austin Brummett scored his team-high 7th goal of the season to equalize the game in the 77th minute. And then just a few minutes later, junior midfielder headed in the game winner, giving UConn the double U in dramatic fashion. It was a huge win for them against Seton Hall. And then they moved on to the first round of the Big East tournament, where they played Akron, the number 17th team in the country and the favored one in this matchup. And it was a nearly identical outcome as their previous game. They were down 1-0 again. Austin Brummett scored the equalizing goal, and then this time Alessio scored the game winner. It was nearly identical to their last game. It was unreal. And they move on to the Big East Championship against the favorite Georgetown this Sunday. That is going to be a great game. And now on to football. Wow, just what a week for football. One of the most important and one of the best football games in UConn recent history. A quarterback in the Heisman race, 7-3, top 50 in the national rankings. If I said all of this to describe UConn's football 5 or 6 years ago, you'd think I'd be delusional, but I'm not delusional, and I'm actually pretty smart. And all of these statements are true about UConn football this year. UConn is coming off their biggest win in the last couple decades. They beat the ACC powerhouse Duke in a 37-34 thriller at home. The receiving touchdown record for most receiving touchdowns in a single season was broken by Skylar Bell in this game as he caught two touchdowns, including the game winner on the final UConn drive. This was only one of a few thrilling plays in this game. A fake punt at midfield on 4th and 9 sparked the way to this UConn comeback. The Rent saw over 38,000 fans, the most since 2013. The fans were a huge help throughout the game, especially in the final play where the UConn defense forced a fumble. They play Army at home tomorrow at 12 p.m. as their final home game of the season. And now we're going to start basketball. It's the first time we're talking about basketball this year, mainly because there's been a couple exhibition games and it really hasn't been close. UConn men's and women's teams have just been dominating in their first three games each. They're both 3-0. The UConn women's team has won each of their last three games by at least 32 points. So it's not really been much to watch there. They're just dominating like usual, and they play Ohio State this Sunday in the newly renovated People's Bank Arena. The men's team is also 3-0, and their closest win being a 19-point exhibition win to start off the season versus BC. Their first real test of the season comes tomorrow at TD Garden as they play number 10 ranked BYU. And now on to the trivia section of Carbone's Court. Last week we asked you, Joe Fignano has 10,000 total passing yards, and at the time of last week's show, how many passing yards did he have? This is a pretty niche question, but if you got it, wow, good for you. The correct answer was 2,529. As of last game, he had 2,529 passing yards. And I think you all like this one. Since we're starting basketball this week, I had to bring in basketball. What university did Gino Auriemma attend? And don't get this confused, what university, because he attended a community college. But what university did Gino Auriemma attend? We'll have the answer next week on Husky Nation News. I'll send it back over to Katie.
Thank you so much, Vinny. I'm really stumped. That's a good question this week. Now I got to think about it. Or maybe just, you know, use another method to figure out the answer, but whatever. We're going to get on to our fun little biweekly session that we've got here. We have Billy Lipinski, our USG comptroller, in studio, and a brand new guest with us this week. We have Phoenix Harper, who is the Chief Diversity Officer of USG. How are you both doing today?
We're doing good. We're so glad to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, of course. I'm so excited to have you both in studio today. We have a lot to talk about, and not much of the fall semester left. So we have to bang through as much as possible because there's a lot happening. So I wanted to start off with you, Billy. There's been a lot of discussion about SASVAC and yes, the USG budget. And yeah, I know last time you were here, we were talking about the closure of the Tier 2 funding request form. So I wanted to ask if you could talk a little bit about what it's looking like now that we're going to be reaching that mid academic year point. And also talk a little bit about what SASVAC is, because I know that's something that all the Tier 3 orgs know about, but maybe not the average person would.
Yeah, sure. So in regards to Tier 2 funding, I know the last time I was here, I talked about our form closing on October 28th. We're happy to report that was successful. We think it's going to kind of help us out in the long run. As of yesterday, we have spent $600,000 in Tier 2 funding, and that includes some of the forms that we've had to process post-closure, because, you know, a lot of clubs submitted kind of on the last day, and we've been working through those forms for the last week or two, so that has been going well. We're not super concerned with the $600,000 number. We got some data from our advisors, which says that we've spent so far about 15% of our $1 million Tier 2 funding budget in club coaching, which is typically a year-long expenditure. Mm-hmm. So that $150,000 is a year-long thing. We're not going to count it just as fall when you're, you know, doing the math in your head. Well, they're over 50% for one semester. Technically not. We also ran some numbers and saw that about $70,000 of that $600,000 is actually for spring-only expenditures. So when you do the math, we've only spent about $375,000 to $400,000 for fall-only expenditures, so that is looking good for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've already advertised that I'd like the form to close before spring break, so we've been open for 3.5 months, and then when we open again on December 9th, if you do the math all the way to spring break, that's another 3.5 months. So mm-hmm. We're sitting at a good point. You know, obviously, we're going to try to make the funding last as long as possible. And I've mentioned this on the show before, but if a request looks good and we receive it and it's compliant with our policies, we have no choice but to fund it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not a subjective process. If it goes, it goes. But we're going to be doing our best to implement policy and make sure everyone's being compliant so that we can preserve that funding for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And then in regards to SASVAC, which stands for the Student Activity and Service Fee Advisory Committee, I just recently started my appointment to that committee on Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's been a blast. It's been really fun. SASVAC is a group of faculty and graduate students and undergraduate students that hear from several departments that receive GUF funding, which is the general university fee. So on Wednesday, we heard from places like the Jorgensen Center for Performing Arts, the Marching Band, Athletics, off-campus student services, which is kind of a sub-department of the Dean of Students, the union, and then on Thursday we heard from the One Card Office, UConn Rec, the Cultural Center, Student Activities, and Shaw. And essentially what we do is we review their budgets and make sure that they are operating fiscally responsibly and being transparent about where their funding is going. And then they're able to request additional GUF funding, and it is the job of the SASVAC committee to make recommendations about how that money gets dispersed for the following fiscal year and then projections for FY27 and FY28 as well.
Mm. Have you ever sat on this committee before, or is this your first time?
This is my first time.
So exciting.
Yeah, it was super exciting. I definitely learned a lot. There was definitely some culture shock on Wednesday. I was like, I was kind of a little bit grossly underprepared, but I quickly figured out what all those big scary budgets meant and what everything was supposed to look like. But it's really interesting. I mean, I got to hear about a lot of what the departments are doing and stuff that I didn't know that they paid for or initiatives that they're implementing for future fiscal years that I think would be really exciting for undergraduate students. Like I know Shaw is piloting a program for increased benefits for graduate students. Mm-hmm. I learned all about athletics and the rec center and how they kind of divide the responsibility of maintaining certain athletic facilities on campus. It sounds a little boring, but it's interesting when you do the math and you look at the numbers and say, hey, wait a minute. I didn't realize my fee bill pays for that, you know?
Right. I think that's another thing that students don't always realize is that a lot of the fee bill is supporting these on-campus like organizations or these on-campus amenities that people don't always realize. Like through the student activities fee, you're funding WHUS, for example, you're funding USG, you're contributing to the tier three organizations that we have represented each week that we have Husky Nation. And I think that, you know, being transparent not only about that we're students serving students, but also, again, maintaining that transparency is like really important.
Yeah.
So how's it been just like hearing from your peers on what they're doing and learning about the other organizations?
Well, so we're obviously all in SASVAC season, mm-hmm. All of the tier three orgs. So, you know, I talked with a few of the president and comptroller equivalents of mm-hmm. other tier threes at our most recent triad about SASVAC stuff. Because interestingly, the tier threes don't actually present until February.
Right.
For their SASVAC presentations. We get a little bit of extra time, which is mm-hmm. greatly appreciated. But yeah, I've been communicating with them and I've been communicating with our advisors. I'll be starting USG's SASVAC packet next week, which is daunting
super
and exciting.
Fun.
But yeah, it's really cool because, you know, I think a lot of people think, oh, well, you have to present in front of this board and, you know, they're going to grill you on all the things that you're spending. And I'm looking at it more as an opportunity to say, hey, here's all the cool things that we're doing this year. And here's what's different from last year. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, comparatively, we do an FY25 review and then we do FY26 as it stands right now. And then you know, we do projections for future fiscal years, and it's sort of a really nice timeline for USG and other tier threes to say, hey, this is something that we did last year. These are the things we're doing this year. Here's what's different. Here's what's the same. And this is what we want to do in the future. And that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing a bit about the funding side of things, Billy. We really appreciate having you on.
And yeah.
I love how excited you are to talk about all of the nitty
gritty. The data, yeah.
Yeah, the nitty gritty little details, all the numbers. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now we're gonna transition over to Phoenix. Phoenix, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. If you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about yourself for anyone who may not be familiar with either you or your department of USG, that would be great.
Yes, absolutely. So my name's Phoenix Harper. I'm a senior. I serve as the Chief Diversity Officer for USG for this academic year, but I was actually Interim Chief Diversity Officer from February to the end of that fiscal year earlier in the last academic year. And I am a business management major, but I'm on the pre-law track, so I'm in the process of applying to law school. And I also am president of UConn's NAACP and a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. So, yeah, to be active on campus, really passionate about social justice, civil rights. And as far as the work of my department in USG, we focus specifically on outreach and making sure that USG is representative of our diverse student body, making sure that we're actively enforcing accessibility, inclusion, and also just making sure we're serving students, particularly underrepresented students, marginalized communities within UConn. And so, yeah, it's really exciting doing that. And we also kind of serve as HR in a way for USG, so auditing the behavior of USG members and making sure that we are conducting ourselves in a manner that's respectable and a manner that makes students comfortable and willing to come into our spaces and advocate on behalf of one another. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you kind of just mentioned, you touched on a few different points there. I wanted to ask you specifically about, you know, I was just talking with Billy a bit about some of the stuff that he does when it comes to his office. So can you share a bit about any initiatives that your office is specifically working on to support students kind of in the time right now where before the government, you know, reopened on Wednesday, you know, food benefits, healthcare access, kind of the questions I think a lot of people have been asking and wondering about.
Yes, absolutely. So I know last semester we were able to do a dental pop-up clinic. And students found that to be very beneficial, particularly in regards to health equity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have students who don't necessarily have the same access to healthcare as other students do. And so we tried to bring this initiative in and serve students in that manner, especially dental care. Like a lot of times people underestimate how important dental care is. And so we were able to bring in Jet Dental, and they did the dental clinic in the student union for 2 days, and they were open for 12 hours the first day and 8 hours the second day.
Wow.
And it was amazing. Students were able to get cavity fill-ins, x-rays, extractions, regular cleanings, and they were also able to request specific appointments to do any like kind of special treatments. We're bringing that back for spring semester, so we're really excited about that. That's going to be March 10th to the 12th, and we're going to have it in the Rome Commons Ballroom.
Okay.
Same company, Jet Dental. We got a lot of positive reviews on the dentist and on the assistants, so really excited to bring that initiative back. We're also doing our final survival stop. That'll be December 4th for students during finals week. We're going to be giving out resources like blankets, fuzzy socks, stress-relieving items, some food, just to support students in the last week of classes, get them through finals. Obviously, a lot of students may be struggling, and especially in that time of withdrawals on SNAP and a lot of resources that students rely on heavily. Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to bring something that's beneficial to students, that's free, hand out those resources. I think we're going to have enough for 400 students.
Wow.
So yeah, it'll be great to hand those out for free, just give them out to students whatever they need. And it's also getting a little bit cold, so we thought the blankets and the fuzzy socks were a great touch. So excited to bring that back. And Billy and I are also working on an immigration panel that's coming in the first week we get back, actually, so January 27th in Jorgensen Theater. And not too much on that yet because we haven't confirmed all the names, but expect some really big figures who can speak from experience, professional-wise, and just lifestyle experience on immigration rights and the progression of immigration rights. We wanted to bring this special experience to students, especially now, just to inspire some motivation. It's called Educate, Equip, and Empower. And that's exactly what we want to do with a panel, so we're really excited about that, and we're working together to bring that to students, a unique event that USG hasn't done in the past, and I think it's really timely, so we're super excited about that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, you're doing like so much in your department.
We're trying.
Yeah.
For the dental clinic, how would one like sign up, or do you just show up for it?
Yeah, great question. So we actually, last year, everything was digital. Like, you know, you signed up through a link. And we found that because sometimes social media is not the end-all be-all, we're going to do in-person tabling as well. So we'll be tabling in the student union, in the library. We'll also be kind of attending some freshman, sophomore classes to kind of let students know this resource is available, and we'll have it so the students can reserve their appointments and make any special accommodations that they may need in person as well as online. So there'll be a link on our social media page. We'll probably also share with other tier threes and tier twos so they can put it on their social media pages, and then we'll also have that in-person aspect because sometimes word of mouth is even better.
Yeah. So with all of those initiatives that you have projected for next semester, can you tell us a little bit about the ones that you've worked on this semester and kind of tell us how they went, anything that stood out to you or anything that you learned from those that you're going to be bringing into these new ones in the next semester?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I know this semester we started off strong with a mental health event, Paint Your Story. Mm-hmm. Just coming off from a summer, we wanted to give students something to start the semester off strong. We actually collaborated with Shaw's Holistic Huskies and did a guided painting session, which was really, really good. We got a lot of positive feedback from students in regards to, like, you know, just feeling relieved and something that was fun. I know a lot of USG's events can be academic or, like, we're just giving things away. And so something that wasn't necessarily tangible but kind of like a feeling, setting up a calm and sensory space for students to just express themselves through creativity. We were also able to give out resources, and that was great. I think one of the things we learned from that is, you know, we want to do things on an even broader scale. I think sometimes we forget we serve a really large body of students. Mm-hmm. And so increasing advertising is something that's been really big for us, and increasing outreach, because we can advertise all we want, but if we don't have students who know where to find those advertisements, students who know where to find those resources, sometimes they don't necessarily get to the students we want to target. So we've been doing a lot of outreach specifically to first-year students, and we want to continue to do that. Another thing we did was collaborating with the African American Cultural Center on the Crown Act, and just working with them. We now have natural hair care products available in the convenience store in the Student Union, so we tabled for that. We wanted to let students know, hey, these resources are available. Take advantage of them. Again, we are really working on pushing out not just USG resources, but UConn resources in general, and making sure that we're connecting the resources with the students. Mm-hmm. We've been in so many situations where we'll bring up a resource and students will be like, that's available. It's kind of segueing into that. We also have our Know Your Resources Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that's something my office has been doing, where we're kind of gathering information from departments on campus. I know we did Dean of Students Office, and Shaw's next, and saying, hey, what are some resources that you have that you want students to know about? And or maybe even events with low attendance, mm-hmm. and taking those, bringing them to our communications team and distributing them via our social media and via our Senate meetings and committee meetings to make sure that students have access to those. And I think another thing is also we want to build up our social media, right? Right, continuing to do that outreach. So those are just a couple of initiatives that we've been working on. I want to continue to build off of that. Again, like I said, increasing the student reach and increasing advertisement, but also building connections with students as well. Yeah. And this year, one thing we've also been doing, I'm still in the process of doing, is reaching out to learning communities. Mm-hmm. So learning communities specifically in Worth, and making sure that those learning communities know where the resources are, not just, again, in USG, but also outside of USG. So I've been going in and having meetings and doing workshops about what is USG, what we do, what are resources we provide, and also encouraging students to be a part of USG, run, become members, vote on crucial things that impact the undergraduate student body. Just kind of getting into those initiatives and pushing even further. Spring semester is usually busier, mm-hmm. For my office specifically, because there's a lot of planning that goes on in the fall. Mm-hmm. But those are just some of the things we're working on and some things I've learned.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to do a quick poll around the room. Anybody have any questions for Billy or Phoenix? Vinny, do you have any questions?
I do not, no.
No? Okay. Is there anything else that you guys feel you want to amplify again or just restate anything maybe we didn't cover that you guys wanted to bring up before we close out the show today?
Yeah, I'll just say funding form opens December 9th for spring semester submissions. I've talked about this like pretty much every time I've been on here, so just a reminder. So just keep an eye out for that.
Where can students find that?
That is on our Tier 2 funding website or subsection on the USG website. There's a link to the form, and then also we'll be sending out an email with a link to the form just as a notification, hey. And then also we'll be sending out an Instagram reminder, which will also have the link to the form. So
sounds good.
And I just want to urge students to get involved. USG meetings are open to everyone. Most of our Senate meetings are open to everyone. Most committee meetings are open to everyone. I encourage students to get involved. Come hear about some of the things that we're discussing. And even debate becoming a member. I think it's so powerful. It's such a powerful organization. I love it. I started my sophomore year. And I wish I started even earlier, because there's so much room to grow in the organization. And I definitely want to encourage students, especially first year and second year students, to get involved. Because the more the merrier. And we love to hear student voices, even if they're not necessarily senators or gov board members, but just to bring student voices to the table. That's the goal of our organization. So encouraging everyone to get involved, attend meetings, speak out during public comment, because student engagement is what it's all about.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both so much for coming in and talking a bit about USG with us. We love having you guys on every other week. And yeah, thank you so much to everyone tuning in this morning. A special thank you to our news partners, the Daily Campus UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV UConn Student Television Station. A special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rick Wolski.
And I'm Vinny Carbone.
And you have been listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.